Evan and Tiki, but no Evan, no Sean, Loogie and Lightning, Tommy and Tiki here on The Fan. Gotcha to 630, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Tommy DeVito should be the starter for the Giants in week one. The Mets are, you know, positive Tommy, undefeated all week. We will get into the Jets. We will get into Aaron Rodgers. Craig and Susan calling the games this weekend. No Yankees tonight. Rained out, doubleheader tomorrow. Now, I have not watched a lot of the Olympics, but I have seen a lot on the internet. And I'm just here to say this is the thirstiest Olympics I've ever seen. I mean, the thirst traps going on right now is ridiculous. We got it on right now. It's hard to concentrate right now, Teak. You got only fan models basically in the Olympics. I thought you had to be an Olympic athlete. This is supposed to be the best of the best.
Well, they also are. You can be both.
You can. They're sitting there twerking.
They're not mutually exclusive. Now you know, Tommy.
Yes.
Why? I don't know if you know this, but when me and my twin brother were young, we didn't want to be football players. We wanted to be track stars.
I'm sure you did, big fella.
And Rondé was actually pretty good. Yeah. He won the indoor national championship in the 55-meter hurdles. I was second in the long jump. But we loved track and field. And people were like, oh, why don't you play baseball? Why don't you like play soccer or whatever? Because we played soccer when we were younger, and we were good at it, but we just kind of hated it. And they were like, have you ever gone to a track and field meet? Have you ever been to the pin relays? Have you ever seen college athletes that run track?
And it looks like such a kinky sex activity.
Exactly right.
I mean,
it's just amazing.
It is amazing.
The bodies and the physicality, it is awesome.
Yeah, you have me at bodies. But yeah, so I'm watching the game, I'm watching the Olympics, and I'm just sitting here, I'm like, how many fathers right now are sitting there in their basement in their man caves watching the Olympics? You got your wife knocking at the door. Not now, honey. I'm watching the Olympics. Don't bring the kids in right now because I'm watching the pole vault or whatever.
Sounds like you're one of them.
I am absolutely one of them. The internet is undefeated. I mean, every single day there's a new story about this, that, and the other, and the pictures, and I'm sitting there going, why am I not? The ratings for the Paris Olympics will be through the roof. I've never seen this before. Now, you get it more in the Summer Olympics. I don't think, like, you know, the bobsledding team from Sweden is showing off anything.
Oh, the speed skaters are thick as hell.
That's true. You wear the tight spandex, right. But I'm watching every single, people tell me, do you see the men's U.S. Olympic team basketball? No. I'm watching, you know, basically, whatever, swimming. Why? Because it's a thirst trap. And that's why they got my man Snoop there. Reportedly, this guy's making $500,000 to be there, Teak. Did you see this?
$500,000 a day.
A day. Good. Yeah, a day.
And he's there for a fortnight. Actually, probably longer than a fortnight. I think it's 18 days that he's over there. That's a lot. That's $9
million. $9
million.
I mean, now, Snoop, of course.
It's a drop in the bucket for what they make.
Oh, beyond.
So,
yeah,
so it doesn't necessarily matter. But Snoop is everywhere. I've actually enjoyed Snoop in this Olympics. Equestrian? This dressage or whatever they call it.
Yeah, equestrian, I think, is like a horse.
When he first started, he's like, man, the horse is crip walking.
Yeah.
it was awesome.
No, Snoop just adds all that humor and comedy, and he's worth every single penny that they're paying him. But that's why I think they're showing him so much on TV, because reportedly he's making $500,000. And look, very few people Snoop Dogg has lived his best life for years. They had that thing about a year ago. It was this brilliant campaign where he went on Twitter and he said basically, like, I'm giving up smoke. Which everybody thought was marijuana, ended up being, you know, an advertisement, which was brilliant because, let's be honest, I mean, Snoop Dogg is not giving up marijuana anytime soon, probably never. Snoop's on the Mount Rushmore. I think when I think marijuana, I would go, and help me out here, guys, if I'm wrong here. I'm going Mount Rushmore, top four, however you want to do it. Snoop, of course. Cheech and Chong, I consider, I'm not going to split them. They are their own entity.
Dude, they might be, I don't know. They might eclipse Snoop.
Well, I'm not doing this in order. I'm just saying top four.
They made it like mainstream. Cool.
The late, great Bob Marley has got to be on that list as well.
Oh, it's his religion.
And I would go Willie Nelson. J.R. Smith? No, am I forgetting anybody else?
Laramie Tunsil?
Yeah, that was a good one. I think just as far as Seth Rogen, I think, is a good one too.
No, Tommy, because I said Willie Nelson before you said Willie Nelson. You nailed it.
That was the four.
And I said Cheech and Chong before you said Cheech and Chong. So you nailed it.
How about Towley, was that his name in South Park? Want to get her?
But that's a fake character.
It's a cartoon, I agree.
It's not real.
So we're in agreement. Snoop, Cheech and Chong.
In whatever order you want to put them in.
Any order. Bob Marley and Willie Nelson.
Talking about celebrities that endorse marijuana ridiculously.
Just not even endorse it. Just they're known to
associate, like,
don't even care.
Yeah, I mean, you
have never cared.
I mean,
that's the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, he's nailed it. Yeah.
That's the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
No, Wiz Khalifa.
That's a good one too. Yeah, it's a good one too. I think you have to put in like a real like career for it. You know what I mean? Like you have to be at that like legendary status. Yeah, like I said, Seth Rogen's another really good one too.
You got to be clipping towards 60 and still doing it.
No doubt about it. 100%.
Willie was like 80.
Yeah. You know what? You know there's another good one because I loved Half Baked as a kid. Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, I thought of him, but
right?
Doesn't
but
hold
only,
the candle.
But only because of the movie.
Right. Correct.
What a movie, though. I
mean, Half Baked. Samson. Fly me to the moon.
You could argue that Jim Brewer was the highest in that whole film, too. You know what I mean?
That's true. Brewer, another good one. Met fan, obviously, from around here. Chappelle's a great one. And we've talked about the Chappelle show.
I think Brewer was probably more the pothead in the movie.
100%. Yes. And the guy on the couch.
Chappelle was more like the comedy.
And the guy on the couch.
Yeah, the guy who just was always on the couch. Yeah.
Now, when I say Snoop, I also include, of course, the
Arch. Who was that? That was somebody. Was that Rich?
Oh, on the couch? It was the comedian. He had that
Richard Lewis?
No. He had that
Not Richard Lewis.
It was the comedian that has the dry sense of humor. He's one-liners.
Hold on.
Oh, my God. I think he's the one that had the, if 7-Eleven's open 24 hours a day, why is there a lock on the door? He was a comedian. It wasn't Mitch Hedberg, who was another guy that was great with the one-liners. I forgot his name. Steven something, I want to say. Everybody's screaming at their radio right now. We'll get it in a second here. When I say Snoop Dogg, though, I also include...
Steven Wright. There you go.
All right, Lukey's pretty good there. Steven Wright, the dry comic. I consider, with Snoop, the arch magic Don Juan, of course. You know, we're going to the moon, I'll see you at the stars. I consider him... Oh! Cat Williams. Cat Williams, at the very least, has to be mentioned. I mean, Cat Williams...
Honorable mention.
Love Cat Williams. Very funny. Like, Cat Williams, for sure, would be on that list as well. So, there's a lot of people that would stake claim to this. People I'm not even remembering right now.
You see what Snoop at the Olympics leads to our conversation? We're not even talking about the men's basketball win last night.
Who cares?
We're not even talking about Sidney McLaughlin, LeBron, who just smashed the world record in
that
the 400-meter hurdles.
Yeah.
Looked fantastic doing it as well. Like, we're not even talking about the sport. It leads you to talking about Snoop as the Mount Rushmore king.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. This is my thought process here. Apparently OnlyFans models now could be Olympians. None of us could basically be Olympians, but we've probably all, you know, had a little bit of that. You know, I'm just saying here, a little green stuff.
No way.
No, all right, well, yeah, not you. Okay, well, you know, lightning can strike inside too, Scott. So, we've all kind of can relate to that at the very least. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Rick in Tampa. He's been waiting patiently. What's up, Rick?
What up, Rick?
Yeah, what's up, guys? You know, Lugie, you're just talking about that. This is the first Olympics that I remember. All these little screenshots of these swimmers and stuff that I see popping up. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, exactly what you're talking about. It's crazy.
Put the women and children to bed when you're watching the Olympics.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Hey, listen, two things. One, first of all, I agree with you, Tommy, about last year when Tommy DeVito did not play the string out. I have no idea why he didn't get a chance to show what he could do. It was just terrible to bring in Taylor instead.
I thought the Giants pulled the plug on DeVito because it was becoming too much of the off the field stuff. I don't even want to say a distraction because they were, even though they were in the hunt, they were essentially out of a teak, but I just felt like they wanted to kind of curtail the momentum and the wave that was Tommy DeVito.
Right, but they should have kept them in there. But I want to say this now. What is our prize, our proud toy that's in the garage right now for the Giants this year? It's Malik Nabers, right?
For sure.
He's our guy. So you got to look at it this way. I know the Giants have to look. How are we going to maximize him? Is Daniel Jones the deep threat for getting Nabers deep? Is that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Tommy DeVito, and I love Tommy DeVito as well, but if he can't maximize that, then it will be Daniel Jones, and the only way, an injury is the only way, and if that ever happened, then that's going to be his chance to shine. But I don't think it would change until then, because Malik Nabers, I think Daniel throws a better deep ball than Tommy does. So that's what I think they're going to really gear the season around, because Nabers is great. You already saw him upset because he wasn't getting the ball already.
Yeah, I mean, he handled it well-ish.
I'm glad Rick brought that up because I've been teasing it all day. If you didn't watch the game last night, I get it. It's a preseason game. You got other things going on. Malik, no targets. He was open all night, though, at least from my vantage point. You could argue it, but he was open a lot. Drew Lock, who was bad, couldn't find him. And I saw him on the sideline, and he had that resting you-know-what face. He just looked unhappy. And again, this is a guy coming from LSU, NFL, just a crazy, a generational talent, one would say. And he looked, to me, frustrated. Now, he said some things even after the game, whatever, but the point, nothing bad, but right. just, you know he wants to win, you know he wants to make an impact, and the fans want to see him get the rock.
Yeah, sure. He basically said after the game, for those who missed it, he said, like, everything's got to be perfect for me to get the ball.
So
it sounds like a subtle shot at whatever quarterback was not throwing him the ball.
Locke was bad, so yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with
saying
that.
Some of those throws were tight window throws, and Drew Locke is trying to earn the fans and, I guess, really more importantly, the coach's trust, even though he's almost guaranteed to be here because of the signing that he got, bonus and guaranteed salary. But some of those throws, you just throw, right? Just,
get him the ball.
If he's covered, you give him a shot, especially if it's a man type coverage, and Detroit runs a lot of man coverage. You gotta trust your wide receivers. Now maybe the rapport is not there yet. Maybe he has that rapport with Daniel Jones because he's obviously running with the number ones.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Locke and Neighbors worked together that much in the summer. I didn't see it when I went to camp.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. It's probably mostly Daniel Jones, especially because Daniel Jones is at least as we understand it now not going to play in the preseason.
Yes,
and so you got to get as many reps as you can, because that timing doesn't just happen. It's not through osmosis that you're, okay, I know exactly where you're going to be, Malik Neighbors, when we run this go route. Right? You got to do it multiple times. And so Daniel's going to get most of those reps. But you could tell he's frustrated. And that the other thought that I had when I saw that he only didn't have any targets, obviously no catches, and I heard him talking after the game, was, you remember in Hard Knocks, when he was sitting with Brian Daboll, and Joe Shane.
Was this when Daboll had his feet up the entire time?
No, I saw it on social media. This was when he was in the facility before the draft.
I do remember that. Yes,
and he was talking to him about, you know, what do you do when things don't go your way
and you're not getting the ball?
What happens when you're not getting the ball?
Yep,
and he's basically asking him, are you going to be a diva if we don't get you the ball because of whatever the circumstances?
And wide receivers have had that sort of feeling that they've been divas
and so,
for years.
I mean, I thought his answer was pretty good.
I love the answer.
And I'm going to be frustrated, but you know, it's a team game type thing. I wondered if that was it. Like, all right, first preseason game, it's your first time to show out. If it's perfect, don't throw the shots at him.
Yeah.
To see how he reacts. And see how he handles
it. Oh, you think it was
sort of... I'm wondering if it's a test.
That's interesting.
Because I don't... Like, those type of things...
So you think not through the game, not nothing like that, but you thought they said they like send a message almost like,
not
hey,
even a
don't
message.
Look Malik's way, let's see how he handles it.
Yes.
Interesting.
Because don't forget that in year one of Dave's regime here, when he was trying to rebuild the culture, well, you remember this story.
Yep.
Like, he would tell Wink and the defense... what was happening.
I remember that, yep.
Right?
Just to see
how Daniel Jones would react to it. Mm-hmm. Like, how he would deal with the frustration of, man, these guys know what I'm doing. Right? How do I find success? And so, it's a growth tool. Now, maybe I'm just out on a limb here, reaching for something that Daboll is manufacturing to help Malik Neighbors as a young rookie wide receiver grow and deal with the frustrations that are inevitable for young players in the NFL. But I that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, man, I wonder if this is intentional.
No, that's interesting.
Like, how does he not have a target?
Right, and he was wide open. And we know how Daboll is, and we see the hype. And I've said it. I said he will be the greatest wide receiver in the history of the Giants. I think he, much like myself, a generational talent, speaks in the third person like Jimmy from Seinfeld. So I love the whole deal, and I speak in the third person. So I love the whole thing. But you're right. He's been so like, he's just like, the hype train is so high. Daboll, even if he's not on social media, he doesn't strike me as a guy that's on social media, but he's got flunkies that tell him what's going on. So he probably knows what's going on. So maybe, to your point, Teak, he was like, you know what? Let's humble the kid a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's see how he reacts.
Yeah.
And let's see if he passes the test.
Yeah.
Because they asked him that question on the Hard Knocks.
Uh-huh.
And then here you are, preseason game. Because at training camp, and I was there for it, I mean, they throw the ball to him every single time.
Every play.
Every play is get it to Malik, get open. And then you see it in the first preseason game, and no Malik Neighbors. Let's see how he responds. Let's see what he says to the media. you know, not trying to set him up, but just to see, this is playing in New York.
It becomes a learning opportunity.
Right, exactly. This is not LSU, which I'm sure the media is crazy around there too, because SEC, this out, the whole deal. But that's an interesting thought, Teague. I like that, because I was frustrated. I know, like, everybody covering the game, social media, we just wanted to see Malik get the football because it's preseason, it's whatever. You want to see exciting players, and it was our first chance to really see him as far as, like, you know, on the field and stuff like that. Obviously, videos on Twitter and stuff like that is not the same as seeing him in a game. But I like that thought. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Michael in Toms River. What's up, Mike?
I know I'm a little late on this. I got a two-parter here. But with your Mount Rushmore there, it's a sports show. You got to talk about Ricky Williams in there.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
You know what?
Oh, man. He went off.
Yeah. No.
But the top four, though? He's an honorable mention for sure.
I'd have to add him into the sports section at least.
Yeah. God, you know what that feels like? It's like one of those, Mike. It's like a great president that came after. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. It's like, oh, we should add another bust. You just can't.
You can't.
But Ricky is iconic.
Ricky is absolutely iconic. If you're just tuning in, obviously Snoop Dogg reportedly getting $500,000 a day to be at the Olympics, and this is the thirstiest Olympics I've ever seen. The thirst traps. I mean, you can't watch the Olympics with your wife and your kids. I mean, it's basically, you know, X-rated. I mean, the ratings will be through the roof. So then we got into the, you know, the people we associate most with weed, with marijuana, and it was Snoop. We didn't want to break up Cheech and Chong. They're one. Bob Marley, Willie Nelson, and we've heard Ricky, Seth Rogen, a couple other guys. So no, listen, it's a pretty long list. Cat Williams, Dave Chappelle, Jim Brewer, but I just don't see that top four getting cracked. And Ricky's a good one though, so I appreciate that. That's a good thought there. Let's go to Andrew in Brooklyn. What's up, Andrew?
How are you? So, Tiki, I wasn't going to call, but I was like screaming at the radio, and then Tiki said it. I think last night, one, they wanted to see how we reacted, but more than anything, they weren't going to risk any injury. Even when they were interviewing Joe Shane, he was like, I just hope nobody gets hurt. Yep. I think they just want him to get his feet wet, run some routes, and no matter what, they were not throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
We're not risking injury, but hey, go get your feet wet. He probably begged to dress and play. He said, okay, go run your 10 snaps, but we're not throwing you the ball.
Yeah, it's almost like go understand the speed of the game, because it's very different, right? The pace in which the game moves from college to the NFL is very different. And so practice doesn't show it to you.
Sure.
Practice, it's like the coaches are standing right behind you. You do a simulated, but it's slower.
Even in a joint practice,
It's just slower. Like, it's controlled.
Yeah.
Like,
correct.
Once you get inside the lines and it's real whistles, it's no longer controlled. Even if it's preseason, it's not controlled any longer. So, I mean, that's actually a good thought as well. We're not going to risk you getting hurt, but we want you to see what the speed of this game is like.
888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Connor in Goshen. What's up, Con?
Hey, Tommy, big fan of you. You are the next generation talent.
I agree with that. Yep.
Tiki, big fan of you, obviously, again, you know, big Giants fan.
Appreciate you. Up in the land of Tracy Johnson, my wife. She's from Goshen.
I remember. I called
just
in,
Connor and Tracy are from Goshen, by the way. I couldn't tell you where Goshen is.
Come on, man.
Goshen. I mean, what is Goshen known for?
It's up near Middletown, New York.
Where's
Route 17?
Yeah, 17.
Right next to Monticello.
The serial killer capital of the world. I've never heard of Goshen.
Right. Stop.
Right next to C-Mac.
Exactly.
I'm just calling because, like, I saw the game last night. I'm just excited for football being back. But
no doubt.
Excited that, to be really honest, from what I saw, Tommy DeVito should be the, you know, the backup of Jones, no doubt. And I agree that, to me, he brought up to that level to get to possibly the starter, but I still think, like, Jones is going to be there, and I think, you know, having DeVito being, to me, a competent quarterback is a positive sign for the Giants if Jones goes down.
Yeah.
So
and Connor, I think that's unfortunately for Tommy DeVito this season. I'm not talking about what happens in his future. I'm just talking about for this season. Mm-hmm. That's likely his ceiling is be competent if called upon, right? Be prepared and ready for all eventualities if called upon, right? Don't be that liability that gets sacked 37 times in six starts last year. If you can do that, then maybe we can trust you. Because in their minds, in Joe Shane and Dave's mind, I don't think they came into the season thinking that he had the ability to even be the backup. Because why else would you have paid
Locke, Drew Locke. The $5 million.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when they were looking, we saw this on Hard Knocks. I mean, probably I'm sure it was more detailed than that. They had a much deeper, in-depth conversations about Tommy's skill set and where he is in his development versus what's out there on the street or in the free agent market and what they could get. And Drew Locke was the best option. That's their value. I have to trust them right now, mm-hmm. right? I feel like they've done a pretty good job constructing this team, especially from where it was 3 years ago when it was bereft of a lot of talent. And so I just have to trust them right now until they prove that we don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right now I'm trusting them, and they didn't think Tommy DeVito was ready. But now Tommy DeVito, because of the Drew Locke injury,
if you missed it earlier,
Drew Locke has a bone contusion. We're not exactly sure where, and an oblique strain, I believe, or something.
Yeah. He's going to miss a few
something
weeks.
In the side. But he's going to miss some time. We don't know how long it's going to be, but whatever it is, it's an opportunity for Tommy DeVito to play in the post in the preseason, because we know Daniel Jones is not playing in the preseason, and currently there is no other quarterback on the roster.
Yeah, and they're likely to sign somebody. No surgery is required for Locke. He's expected to miss some time, which is super-duper ambiguous. Mm-hmm. Could be a week, could be 3 weeks, could be 4 months. I don't want to even try to even speculate. Right. I don't know. They're not telling us that.
But
so,
either way, they have to sign a quarterback.
Absolutely, play in the preseason because DJ's not going to play.
DJ's not playing, and Tommy DeVito's not playing 60 minutes for two straight games. Yep. I mean, maybe he could. Maybe he should. Maybe it'd be the best thing for him, but I doubt he's doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, like I said, Tommy DeVito, to me, should be the starter in week one. And it's not just because you know his mom makes the good manigot. It's not just because she makes the pasta fagioli, which my grandmother, my late grandmother, made the best pasta fagioli ever. I don't know all grandmas have, but my grandma for sure. He goes by Tommy. And besides the fact that I have my ears pierced, besides the fact that I have ripped jeans, besides the fact that I'm not doing it today, shout out to the Islanders, of course. I wear my hat backwards. You know what I love about Tommy DeVito? I assume his name is Thomas. So is mine. He goes by Tommy. You know how many people come up to me and go, you can't go by Tommy because it's immature, because of Rugrats, right? Wasn't there a character on Rugrats, Tommy? So now Tommy...
Tommy was the baby, right?
Tommy was the baby.
They were all babies.
I know, but like the baby, like the real baby.
No, Tommy Pickles.
Tommy Pickles. So everybody now, because of Rugrats, associates Tommy with immaturity. So I always used to go, it depends on when you met me here, and we'll get back to your calls here in a second. I used to be Lou Gower or Tom back in the day. Thomas is what my wife calls me and my family, but I went by Tommy in college, and everybody, you can't be 40 and go by Tommy.
Grow up.
Yeah, the Giants starting quarterback is named Tommy.
Wait, your wife calls you Thomas?
My wife calls me Thomas.
When she's mad at you?
No, always.
Really?
It's as if I should be playing golf and be wearing coral pants and living out in the Hamptons.
She goes, Thomas, can you grab me a drink from the fridge?
Thomas, why didn't you throw out the garbage? Thomas, make the bed. I go by Thomas. So my parents,
Thomas,
my family.
Thomas, where are you?
Yeah, she calls me Thomas. Don't
Thomas.
That would bother me.
Hi, Thomas. That's just weird. Not
that is weird. It's like, and it's not your mom. Like, I feel like your mom is the only one that could get away with that.
So my wife calls everybody by their full name. Oh. So obviously Brian, there is no full name there.
Right.
Connor, no. She would call Tiki a team. She would not call him Tiki. If you're Chris, it's Christopher. So she doesn't like shortening of the name. She feels like that's the name you were given, and that's the name I'm going to call you by.
So not Muhammad Ali then?
No. Does mama call him Clay? I'm going to call him Clay. That was essentially what my wife is. So that's a little, but she's also the real life Cosmo Kramer, and she lives in chaos. By the way, there's a funny story about my wife that we'll get into here in a little bit. We will get back to the Mets. We got to discuss Pete Alonso, of course, Yankees, Craig and Susan doing the game over the weekend. And Tiki has a thought on Aaron Rodgers that we really need to discuss, plus a Cinco to 5-0 coming your way at 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019 is the number to call.